Isn't our God great? Has He ever failed in one part of His Word, to any of us who knows Him? Never. His Word is true. Let's look into it this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, would you please? Book of Acts, chapter 20. We're going to start here, then move to some other passages. If you don't have a Bible, we encourage you to take one from the pew in front of you or behind you or down the row from you and read along with us. We've said here many times, whoever is speaking from this pulpit, our words don't mean much. His words mean everything. Our opinion, everyone has an opinion. It's not worth a lot. His opinion is everything, right? And we want to be Berean Christians. Remember when Paul went through Berea, it said that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. This is not in Acts 20. This is another part of Acts. I'm just quoting the scripture. And the Bereans were more noble because even after they heard the Apostle Paul, they searched the scriptures to see if what he was saying was so. We always base our understanding on God's word. And so here it says in Acts chapter 20, this is where Paul was about to leave Ephesus, and he had taught them for quite some time. And he says in verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Which means he didn't hold back from teaching everything in the Word of God. Now, those of you who have ever taught the Bible, and I know it's certainly true in my life, there is a temptation to simply teach the areas that we're comfortable with, the ones that we like. But when we start teaching the whole counsel of God, we get into scriptures that maybe we don't quite like, or scriptures that reveal an aspect of God that we never knew before. How many know we come to God with many misconceptions about God? We want Him to be like we think He should be. But guess what? He is not like we think He should be. The Bible says, as the heavens are above the earth, so great are His ways than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth. That's big. Which means He is not like us. When we sing songs, and I love that worship song, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. But when we sing holy, 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 the reason why we have to repeat that word so much is we do not have another English word that captures this tremendous, awesome dimension of God, that He is not like us. The root word for holy is different. He is different than we are. That's why we have to learn about Him. And when we learn about Him, we find out things about Him that are pretty astounding. Now, for those of you visiting, we have been going through a study in this church on biblical theology and studying the doctrines of our faith. We believe strongly that there's never been a greater hour that Christians need to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe and know how to articulate what we believe and share that truth with others around us. Because there's a lot of ideologies that are warring for our thoughts. And our children are growing up into the world very different than the world was 30 and 40 years ago. How many agree with me? So we've been going through this study, and we've studied many doctrines. We've come to the doctrine of God. We've studied God the Father and God the Son. Now we're on God the Holy Spirit. And we've learned a lot about how God the Holy Spirit is working in our midst. And so in light of that, let's turn back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because we've been looking at how He works in the church, and we're looking at this and sharing this to Christians. This is important for us as Christians to know. Now, in verse 12, it says something very important. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. God does not want us to be uninformed about how the Holy Spirit moves supernaturally in His church. Very important. In fact, three chapters of the Bible are given specifically to this area. That's big. Some of our theological doctrines are only built around a certain passage, let alone three chapters. God wants us to know how the Holy Spirit works. That's why we have such specific teaching. Now, we have gone through several of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we've learned that they are not for our benefit, they're for the benefit of the body. 12 verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And to each one is given that. So every Christian experiences a moving of God in their life, even if we don't realize it. And we've gone through all these gifts. We've gone through the gift of wisdom and knowledge, and we've worked our way through healing and faith and miracles and distinguishing of spirits, discernment. And now we've come to probably the most controversial and one that's caused much debate among Christians. And that's this one right here. To another is given various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, I thank God that God has given us in His Word that we're going to look into this morning almost one chapter on this particular gift. None of the other gifts does God give so much time to explaining to us what it is than this gift of tongues and interpretation. Now, in a non-denominational church as we have here, people come from various Christian backgrounds and experiences. If you knew the person you were sitting next to, you'd be amazed at some of the experiences that person has had. I was raised as a Catholic, Catholic background, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, charismatic, all kinds of different things. And in some backgrounds, some people grow up in the church and are never taught about the gifts of the Spirit, right? So totally uninformed. That's how I was when I grew up. Others come from backgrounds where we haven't been taught about it because that particular theology says that doesn't happen today. And so you just don't get taught those chapters. You just bypass those chapters because those teachers believe that that's not for today. You have others who've come out of backgrounds where the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit has been taught, and that's been you've come from a solid background and you've seen the real supernatural working of God. We have many in this congregation that have experienced that. Others come from backgrounds where the scriptures were taught, but there was a lot going on in emotionalism and hype that was not the Holy Spirit, that was said to be the Holy Spirit, and you've grown to know that that wasn't, okay? Know what I'm saying there? So we come from all kinds of different backgrounds. So today, what I'm encouraging you to do is let the Bible teach us. Just look at what the Bible is saying about this particular area of gifting, because it is vital in the body of Christ. And if it wasn't, God would not be devoting so much time to it in the Scriptures, okay? So let's just take a look as we walk through here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, go over one page, and we're just going to walk through verse by verse, 1 Corinthians 14, not commenting a lot on it, just letting the Bible speak for itself. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, "Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts." Now that's a good verse to underline and circle, especially that you may prophesy. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. There are many Christians who haven't even thought about earnestly desiring spiritual gifts. But this is in the imperative mood in the Greek. That means it's a command of God. God's word is commanding us here to earnestly desire the supernatural God moving in our life. So that's something that we all have to take into consideration. Now, verse 2. We've already talked about the gift of prophecy. We've gone into these verses, so I'm not going to reiterate that this morning. But here in verse 2, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." Now, the word tongue there, and I got it in your notes, is glossa in the Greek, from which we get our word glossary. And it means, Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Greek Words defines it as saying, the supernatural gift of speaking in another language without it having been learned. That's speaking in another language that you have never learned. The gift of speaking in tongues. It's an impartation of that. And note here it says, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. So what the Bible is indicating is when we are speaking in a language we've never learned and we're uttering sounds we don't understand and it's a supernatural impartation of the Holy Spirit, we are communicating with God. That's a great insight that God's Word gives us with this particular gift. There is communication with God. No one understands. A person who's speaking doesn't understand. Others don't understand. It's a spiritual gift, a language that we've never learned before. Now, Let's walk through this because the Bible explains much more about this, because I can sense all kinds of bing, bing, bing questions going off here. Okay, go on to verse 3. We've already gone into verse 3, but we're going verse by verse. On the other hand, one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So that is a definition of this gift of prophecy, and we went through that a few weeks ago. Verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Stop right there. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. What does that mean? How many of us think that we need to be built up? This Greek word actually comes from the word for house, oikos in the Greek. It's like building a house strong, building a house that's going to hold up. And in the spiritual sense, when the Bible says that something builds us up, that means spiritually strengthening us. In fact, I have a definition of that in your notes. The promotion of spiritual growth, to improve, to grow. That's what being built up means. And this is what this gift does in our life. Isn't that awesome? As strange as it might seem, that is one of the purposes of it. It builds us up. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. Why? Because prophecy is in the native language of the church and everybody understands them. Look what Paul says in verse 5. Now I want you all to speak in tongues. Stop right there. That's an easy one to just go right by. Why would the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how many believe the Bible is the inspired word of God? So Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here. Why would he say, I want you all to speak in tongues? Because he wants everybody built up. He wants everybody growing. Now, can we grow by studying the Bible? Yes. Can we grow by Christian fellowship? Yes. We have to. Commanded to. But there's other supernatural dimensions that add to our growth, and this is one of them. Right here. The gift of tongues. Builds himself up. But even more, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the whole church, all the church may be built up. We've talked about that. God's heart is for the church to be built up. But this particular area of tongues does both. Builds the individual up, and we're going to see as we walk through here, builds the church up. You know, when I was a young Christian, a few months old in the Lord, 33 years ago, if you remember, in the 1970s, there was a great moving of the Holy Spirit through the United States, cross-denominationally. I went back to my Catholic church as a Christian now, and there was a meeting going on. In fact, it was going on just south of Walsenburg in Trinidad. And some guys said, Doug, you got to come over to this Catholic church. I said, why? They said, you got to see what's happening. I go to the Catholic church downstairs in this big room. For the first time, I'd never seen anything like it. Three nuns are leading worship choruses with their guitars. Black habits, you know, they were Benedictine nuns. I was raised in a parochial Catholic school. The Benedictine nun convent was right across the playground. Benedictine nuns taught me how to play marbles and everything else. And I knew the whole mass in Latin, and I was an altar boy and everything like that. It was shocking to see these nuns closing their eyes. And then about 100 people in the room raising their hands, worshiping the Lord, tears coming down, tongues, prophecies, healings. One priest got up over 65 years old, and he says, I've been a priest for, I don't know, he said 40 years, and I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. I've recently become a Christian, and God's healed me of sugar diabetes. And I was astounded as a young Christian to hear this in the Catholic Church. But then I realized Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists were having these experiences with the Holy Spirit. How many remember that? There are a few of you. Oh, boy, see? Okay, so I'm among friends here. So this was a move across the board. So here I have, after that, these guys that took me down there were from my Catholic church, and I knew them for many years, and they were surprised I became a Christian. So they came to me, and they said, Doug, they said, have you experienced gifts of the Holy Spirit? I said, what are you talking about? Well, what we saw down there, and I said, no, I nothing like that. And he said, Doug, you need to pray because you need these things in your life. Well, I'm a very practical guy, and I like to see things happening, and I've never been one to get in very quickly to the realm of the invisible and the spiritual. So I just tucked that away, and a few days later, and then I began to notice, as I was reading through the Bible, how many times spiritual gifts came up through the book of Acts and through the New Testament. So I was looking at that. I went into my barber one day. I had hair back then, and I did go to barbers. And I had this barber named Al. So I'm there in the barber chair, you know, and I said, Al, and he was a godly man. He knew the Bible. I highly respected him. And I said, Al, you know, these guys, God's doing some great things in the Catholic Church. Oh, he sure is, Doug. Yeah, I got some guys who've come to know Christ, and they got a hold of me. Yeah, boy, I'm really glad to see what's going on over there. And I said, yeah, they told me about spiritual gifts and prophecies and wisdom and knowledge and tongues and all these things. And I've been really considering that. And Al stops cutting my hair, comes around the barber stool, puts his hands on the arms and looks at me and says, Doug, get out of there. They are of the devil. They are of the devil. Tongues aren't happening today. That's Satan. I mean, it took me back. So here I am, my young Christian mind. I've got two groups of people that I highly respect. One says, you need these in your life. The other one says they're of the devil. I walked out of that barber shop and I said, Lord, this is exactly what I said. I said, Lord, nothing from you can be this controversial and divisive in the body of Christ. So I'm going to shelve it. I'm not even going to think about it. I don't understand it, so it's just out of my life. So then, as I was reading the Bible and I come across those verses, I just flip them by. I don't understand that, so I'm not going to read it. But I saw too much of it. I saw too much of it in the Scriptures. It kept coming up. The supernatural kept coming up. So a few months later, a couple months later, there's another guy. And I mean, God was moving all over. So this guy's in the Mennonite church. All right. So I have Catholic, Baptist, Mennonite. And I went to the Mennonite. And he says, Doug, I said, what do you think about this, Gordon? And he says, Doug, I'll tell you what. Don't look to what other people say. Look to the Scriptures. Let the Scriptures teach you. You read the Scriptures and you ask God to give him all that he has for you. And he will do that. So I thought that was a great counsel. So I started reading the Scriptures. And one day I was in my room in Walsenburg, Colorado. And for the first time in my life, I was just reading through the Bible. And I was just overwhelmed with this gratefulness for what God had done in my life. Saving me and having mercy on me. And I felt my bedroom fill with this presence of the Holy Spirit. I'd never felt the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit before. It just filled my room like thick. And I got on my knees, and the only thing that I could do, which I had not done before in the presence of God, was to raise my hands. That was the most appropriate thing, and I didn't even think about it. I just raised my hands, and I started thanking God, and I started praising him for what he was doing in my life. And I was praising him for his mercy, and I was praising him for his love, and I was thanking him, and I was saying, God, thank you, and I praise you, and I honor you, and I'm so grateful for you, and I thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I ran out of English. I could not express before the Lord what my spirit was trying to say, and I started to have these sounds form in my mind, and I began to speak out sounds that were non-intelligible. And as soon as I did, my spirit just soared into the presence. It totally bypassed my mind. And I felt just in his presence. And I was there for quite a while like that. And you know, that was an impartation of that gift of tongues. And that has been sustained for 33 years in my life. That's a big part of my life right now. Worshiping the Lord in that language. And I thank God for that. And it is a tremendous gift. And it builds us up. Now Paul goes on here in verse 5. He says, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets in a public meeting so that the church may be built up. He's talking about there. And I've had this happen one time in 33 years when I was in a meeting with people and someone started speaking out something that I didn't know what it was. You know, it sounded very different. Could have been Asian or Oriental or something. But I didn't know what it was. But when they were speaking, it was as if I understood every line that they were saying. It was as if I knew that language. And so I went ahead and spoke that out, and it was a blessing to many people because it was a word for several people there. I've never had that happen again. It happened one time in my life, an interpretation of a tongue that I'd never learned. But it was like I knew that language, specific language. So you go on here in the Bible. So in verse 6 through 11 now, Paul amplifies this a little bit. He says, just read this down and see if you can't understand this. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you a revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as a flute or a harp, do not give distinct sounds, how will anyone know it is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? Does that make sense? Yeah. For you will be speaking into the air, because no one else can understand. There are doubtless many different languages in the world. I mean, thousands. And none without meaning. But if you do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker and a speaker a foreigner to me. So that makes sense. So with yourselves, and look at this verse. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Now I need to ask you, are we eager for the manifestations of the Spirit? We need to be. We need to be. I know of people who said, Doug, and I've even talked to people, say, Doug, you know, boy, I want God to move in my life. I want wisdom. I want knowledge. I even want Him to give me discernment and healing, but not tongues. Nope. No, 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 no. I said, why not? That's right there too. So now that I just don't know what to think about that. You know what? We need to earnestly desire all the spiritual gifts. It doesn't say earnestly desire most of the spiritual gifts. So, earnestly desire the manifestation of the Spirit. I had someone come to me recently as we've been going through this study and said that they were praying and seeking God and worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, this last week, they began to speak in tongues. Surprised them. You know, it does take us off guard a little bit, but it's a gift, and that gift has been special to that person. I've known people in our congregation that would study this here and go home, and I said, you just go home and think about it, because I've been in meetings where there's an emotional response, and people come forward and you have this emotional response. But I want you to look at the Scriptures, and as you earnestly desire, be open to the moving of God's Spirit in line with His Word, God will do great things in your life. And I have people who've been in the shower singing, and all of a sudden they'll take off in another language. I know people up here have been down, going down the road in their car, and all of a sudden they take off in another language. Then they have to pull over a little bit because was speeding a little bit when that was happening, you know, or whatever it might be. I mean, God is faithful to His Word, and He knows how to work. These are supernatural movings of God. There are many Christians who say, if I can't understand it, I'm not going to buy into it. If it doesn't make sense to me, I don't want it. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot in the Lord that does not make sense to us. And if you put that kind of limitation on God, you're going to cut yourself off from a big part of the life that He has for us. Because this is His Word, right? How many believe this is His Word? Okay, we're just looking at His Word here. So, let's go on here. In verse 13, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. That's a good prayer. Lord, what am I saying? What does that mean? In a public, we're going to find out this is in a public setting. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Stop there. What does that mean? My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What does it mean that my mind is unfruitful? It doesn't benefit anything by that because I can't understand it. And that's how the gift works. That's normal. That's not abnormal. We're not supposed to understand it. It's a supernatural moving of God. So Paul goes on to say, what am I to do? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do both. That's what he says. I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, and I will sing with my mind also. It's a wonderful thing to sing and to pray with your mind. But boy, it's also a wonderful thing to sing and pray in the Spirit because it bypasses that and it's limitless in our worship and prayers. It's an awesome gift. So, he says, I'll do both. Both are vital to our walk with God. Then, it goes on to say, verse 16, otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't know what you're saying? I mean, that's easy to understand. You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not built up. The other person's not built up. Well, that's true. You know, we have Samuel and Dahlia Reese. They're here today, and we have Samuel on the screen, so you don't have to come up here this morning. But Samuel is on our full-time staff, and he's our Spanish minister. We have a Spanish congregation that meets on Sunday afternoons, and God is doing great things. I've gone to the services many times. I don't understand anything that's going on because I don't know Spanish. But I do know that when I see people raising their hands and tears coming down their eyes and people coming to the altar and he's praying for them and our brother is a very passionate teacher, God is doing great things there. There's a lot happening on Sunday afternoons here, and I hope you all come and visit Spanish ministry. But when he prays, he may be giving thanks, but we don't know what he's saying. Here's an illustration of this. Look at this just for a moment. There he is.
Oh Señor, te agradecemos que estamos aquí reunidos para aprender de tu palabra, que seamos dirigidos por tu Espíritu en todas las cosas. Te adoramos y glorificamos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
All right. Now only Tammy Frank and a couple others in this church understood what he was saying there. How do you know what he's saying? Maybe he's saying, oh Lord, touch this dirty, rotten sinner right here. I mean, how do we know what he's saying? How can we say amen to what he's giving thanks for unless someone interprets, right? Tongues is an unlearned language. But if we knew what he was praying, which we know because it's going to be on the screen here, what he prayed just then was, oh Lord, thank you that we are here together to learn about your word. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit in all things. We praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can we say amen to that? See, when you know what's being said. But this is what Paul's saying. If someone's speaking in an unlearned language, how are we going to say amen to that? So in a public meeting, there has to be an interpretation of that. That's amplified a little bit more, so let's keep on going through the scriptures. We're just walking through right here. Look at how much is given to this gift here in the Bible. So then, verse 18, Paul says, now look at this again. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Stop. Paul says to the Corinthians, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? Because he knows how vital that gift is and how vital it was to his own personal life. Extremely vital. Then he goes on, nevertheless, in the church, so you notice there's a private and a public operation of this gift here. In the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Does that make sense? You can speak 10,000 words in a tongue. No one knows what you're saying. How are you going to instruct anybody? I would rather someone speak 5 words of instruction to me than 10 messages in Chinese because I would never understand what they're saying. That gift of tongues and interpretation is for the benefit of the church. Then, verse 20, and I've got this in your notes, so I'm not going to elaborate on this one. But it says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law, it is written and this is out of the book of Isaiah, specifically quoted out of the Old Testament, 28:11-12. By the people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. And even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. Tongues is a sign for unbelievers. This was the fact that unbelieving Israel was about to be judged by the Assyrian army as they came in with an unintelligible tongue, and that was to be a sign for them that it was judgment from God. That's what that is saying here. So it has an Old Testament reference right here to that. How God used people of strange tongues to work his will. But then it goes on, if therefore, now look at this, verse 23, very important. If therefore the whole church comes together, so we're talking about public meeting, and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? What's the answer? Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what they would say. These people are out of their minds. They're a bunch of nuts. This is why in this church, we have many people in this church that have experienced the gift of tongues, some on our worship team. We encourage people not to do that in a public setting unless there's an interpretation. So when you come into this church, you don't hear that. Now, people come from some denominations where everybody speaks in tongues all the time when they come in. And I'm not going to be critical to my brothers, but I believe the biblical direction is not to do that. Because that's exactly what it says right here. Unless there's an interpretation. And it's going to be amplified a little bit more. Let's just keep going down here. But if all prophesy, and when you prophesy, again, it's speaking the mind and counsel of God in that native language of the people there, and an unbeliever, an outsider enters, look at the power of this gift. He is convicted by all, and he is called to account by all, and the secret of his hearts are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Is that what we want to see in the church? For an unbeliever to come in and experience the realm of the supernatural and to say, whoa, God is among you. God is here. Almighty God is here. Because that's what distinguishes us from other religions.
You spoke that out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was
talking about,
you say, unless there's an interpreter.
How would you know if there's an interpreter?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a great question. And that came up last night, and I gave my most sophisticated answer. I don't know. It is a spiritual discernment, I'll tell you that. When you are in a group and you sense that God wants to say something that way, and there's a discernment that people here understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there very well is probably someone who's going to interpret. I've been in settings like that where I'm more free. I've never had a tongue in interpretation except one time, but more free. It's a discernment as far as the people that are around you. If you're in a church, in a setting, or a meeting where people deny the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's probably not going to be an interpreter there. So we've got to be open and eager for the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So I think it's a spiritual discernment, Heidi, there. But we have no clear biblical guideline saying, this is the setting when this will happen. God just gives us the teaching that it happens, all right? And I think that's what's important to us. But there's a sense, if you're going to move in that gift, and I know many who do, there's a sense that in that setting, there's going to be an interpretation. It's a strong spiritual confirmation, and it does happen. And it's a powerful gift. Again, there are many different languages, and some people, I have friends who know six languages. But some of the ones I know that know six learned languages also speak in languages they haven't learned through an impartation of this gift. It's a spiritual, supernatural gift that God gives us. Gift. Let's go on here. I got a lot of thoughts, but I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're just going this line by line. And I pray that you'll go home and read the scriptures and God will give you more understanding and discernment. But to take your cues from God's word, not your history, not your past. I know of Christians who say, you know, I don't want to become one of those. I say, one of what? Well, they've had a bad experience in the past with this gift. Marty and I have gone to churches where we sensed that there was probably something going on in that church that we might not be comfortable with. So we'll sit by the exit door. You ever gone to a church where you sit in the back by the exit door and you say, well, if I don't feel right about things, I'm out of here. We've been in churches where everybody starts speaking in tongues and getting all emotional. The hype takes about 10 minutes and they're falling on the floor and everything's going on. And we're sitting back there. Now, I have seen the reality when God moves. I have seen that and it is powerful. But when it's manufactured and it's a human thing, we were out of there. Because I didn't sense anything. You see, we can weigh by our spirits what's really God and not. Verse 26. We're not going to have time to go into all this here. What then? What are we going to do, brothers? When you come together, again, public setting, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. Again, spiritual gifts are not for our benefit. Primarily, they're for the benefit of the body. Look at this, verse 27. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two or three, at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. Two or three at the most. That's pretty clear direction in this Bible, wouldn't you say? And it shows that there is no such thing as an ecstatic, rhapsodical moving of God's Spirit where I can't control this thing. No, when God moves on us, we can speak or we don't have to speak. We have total control over that gift. And there should be a respect of what's going on in that congregation and an honor for one another. That's what that's saying here. You prefer other people. Don't you be putting yourself forward. That's not the Holy Spirit then. And that's one way we can discern whether it's emotion or the Holy Spirit. This is very clear direction. Two or three at the most. But if there is no one to interpret, here we go, Haley, let each of them keep silent in the church keep silent in the church if you don't sense anyone's there that's going to be able to interpret. But it doesn't say stop. It says, and let him speak to himself and to God. So if you're going to speak in that unknown language, you keep it between yourself and God, unless there's an interpreter in a public meeting. Because that is certainly building that person up, but it's not going to benefit anybody else. Does that make sense? I thank God for this passage, because he gives us such clear instruction here. Then it goes on, verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak. Let the others weigh what is said. All right, stop there. Weigh what is said. We believe as Christians that the canon of the Bible is closed. There is no more adding to God's word and no more subtracting from God's word. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation do not add to the Bible. They are judged by the Bible. That's how we judge. We weigh what's said. And it is absolutely amazing that in any congregation of Christians, when someone gives a testimony or someone says, I have something to say, there is a general witness whether that's right or wrong. And I get the benefit of all the phone calls and emails that say, Pastor Doug, that was right on Sunday, or I had concerns. And it is amazing how we all feel the same way. Because that's the Holy Spirit. We weigh what's said, and we judge it by the Word of God. Everybody clear there? Okay. So then it says, we weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. Don't be promoting yourself again. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So we can speak or we don't speak. We can operate in that gift anytime we want. We have total control of that. God has given us that blessing and privilege with these spiritual gifts. Why? The last verse, verse 33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And when the Holy Spirit's moving, there is a peace. Even though we may not quite understand what's going on, there is a peace, and there is fruit, and there is life. As it says in 2 Corinthians 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, how does this gift get imparted to people? Well, we have very clear illustrations in the book of Acts. There are two primary ways that someone receives a gift of tongues, spontaneously or through the laying on of hands. In Acts chapter 10, there is a godly man named Cornelius. He fears God. He gives to the poor. He wants to know God, but he is not a Christian. Anybody know people who are very godly, but they're not Christian? This is a good case in point. Acts chapter 10, read all about it. But God sends Peter to Cornelius' house to preach the gospel to him. And while Peter is declaring the resurrection of Jesus and proclaiming the gospel to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and all his family. And what do? They speak in tongues and they prophesy spontaneously right there. That's what happened to me. It was a spontaneous thing. No one was around. And that's one way God imparts that gift. Second way is found in Acts chapter 19. When Paul went to Ephesus and there were some guys there, they gave their life to the Lord and he laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And what do? Spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, why would God do that? Why couldn't he operate in a way that was more understandable? Don't you wish God would do that sometimes? But he's a supernatural God. And if we're going to know him, we've got to be aware that there's a lot of things as Christians we don't understand that are revealed to us through his word. When I was young, first time this ever happened to me, I was a diesel truck driver working with a company in Lyman, Colorado. And in Lyman, I met this plumber, became a good friend of mine. And this plumber and I studied the Bible, and we went to a Bible study in a little Baptist church in Lyman, Colorado. It was the goingest thing in Lyman. This little Chinese pastor was a dynamic Bible teacher. We went every Wednesday night. Couldn't wait to get back to listen to him. And one night, Gary and I went out for a cup of coffee at a truck stop, and we're sitting there, and Gary looks at me and says, Doug, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He says, what do you have that I don't have? I said, what do you mean, Gary? He says, you've got something. There's life. There's something there that I don't have. I said, well, I don't know. I mean, we both believe in the Lord, right? Right, Doug. Both study the Bible? Yep. Both pray? Yep. Gary, I've had some experiences with spiritual gifts. What's that? He said, well, you know, I had God moving me in this way, and I had this experience. And he sits back, he goes, that's it. I want that. Pray for me right now. because that's what I want. I said, Gary, we're in a truck stop. I'm not going to pray for you here in this truck stop. So I said, let's go on over to my room. And so we went over to the motel room, and we walked in there. And he turns around, and he kneels down in front of me. And I said, Gary, all I did was I was just worshiping the Lord, and I asked him, and that's what happened to me. And so he begins to pray, and this guy prays his heart out, asking God to fill him with the Spirit and to move in him supernaturally. And he wanted that life. He wanted that enthusiasm. He wanted something that he'd seen, and he wanted all that. And nothing was happening. And he went on and on. And I was getting a little bit embarrassed standing there. And then the Lord starts speaking to me these words, Doug, lay your hands on him. I said, Lord, we're in a motel room here. And what's he going to think? I'm thinking totally flesh, you know. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And the Lord said, Doug, lay your hands on him. No, I'm not going to lay my hands on him, Lord. And he's praying. It got to where I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. And I reached over, laid my hands on this brother, and he just took off in this language. And he had a much more emotional experience than I had. He was crying and honor and worship God in this language for a long time. I was astounded by this whole experience. And so when he got up, he gives me a big old plumber's hug, you know, hugs me. He says, man, Doug, I said, are you okay? He goes, oh, man. He said, when you laid your hands on me, it was like electricity just went right through my body. I didn't experience any electricity because it wasn't about me. It was God's impartation to him because he cried out. He earnestly desired that. We want to be a people that earnestly desire the Holy Spirit to move. Because if not, we can fall into a religious intellectualism that actually quenches the Holy Spirit. And that's what it says there in your notes, 1 Thessalonians. Do not quench the Spirit, which means by our choices and by our mindset, we can hinder the Holy Spirit's moving. We can't do that. We want God to move. I want God to move in great ways, any ways that He wants. And that's very, very important for us. These gifts are for our benefit. And they are very supernatural, but it's the way God confirms His Word. How many want His Word to be confirmed with signs and wonders? Then this is how He does that. It's an area that we can't understand and can't even explain, but praise God, He does that in our midst. Thank the Lord for that. And my prayer and our prayer as elders is when we leave this place, there'll be a desire in you for everything that God has. What I prayed when I was young, I'm going to close with this. When I first came into this, I said, Lord, I do not want any phony baloney. I don't even know if that's in the dictionary. But I said, I don't want anything that's manufactured by man. Any manipulation, any emotionalism, any hype. I don't want any of that because I had my belly full of religious hypocrisy is why I left the church when I was young. But Lord, I want everything that's of you. And I have always prayed that and God has been faithful all these years. Studying the Word, opening my life to everything that God has for me. That's what we want. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this morning and all that you teach us about your Holy Spirit and how you build us up, how you work in the body of Christ. There's only one true God. There's only one Holy Spirit. We experience in your church and in your kingdom what no one else can ever touch because of your divine presence in our midst. Father, we ask you today as a congregation to forgive us for ever quenching the Holy Spirit in our personal lives or in our corporate setting. Forgive us for ever grieving the Spirit of God. Oh, Father, may our hearts be open to you as we learn and as we mature in our thinking. Father, thank you that you move supernaturally. Thank you that you confirm your word. Thank you for the life that we see around us. Father, you're building us up at times and we don't even realize it's you doing that. Because you're the one that has taken a hold of our lives. You're the one that uses us. You're the one that's transforming us from one degree of glory to another into the likeness of our Lord Jesus. It's all your working, Lord, and we are so grateful for that. We worship you. Let there be no hindrance to the moving of your Spirit in our lives, oh God. We thank you for this. Let your full will be done in each one. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters as we sing this last song and leave, that there would be a growing hunger in our heart for you and an earnest desire to see you move supernaturally with your supernatural gifts, that we would be eager for the manifestation of the Spirit in our midst, that we would be orderly, we would not fall into the trap the Corinthians fell into, that they needed to be corrected, but we would be led by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all these things today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord.